joining us online. This is what, September 9th, 8th, I guess, 2019. Today we have a special guest with us, Muhammad Yamut. And am I pronouncing that right, your last name? Okay, great. Okay, good. Okay, perfect. And I know a number of you have heard me share before about some of the really just unbelievable things that God is doing in the Middle East and really throughout the whole Muslim world today. And unfortunately, especially here in America, we don't hear a lot about this, but God is doing a lot. In fact, this morning, as we were singing our songs, we were singing about how God is poderoso, powerful. He's grande, he's great, he's worthy. And I think all those words really describe what God's doing around the world. So we are really privileged today to hear from Muhammad. So what we're going to do, Muhammad's going to come and give a message. Then we're just going to have a probably 4-minute pause or so. I've got an announcement I need to make. Then Muhammad's going to come back up, and we have video slides, presentation in which he's going to be sharing a little bit about his work in Lebanon. I would love to be able to kind of tell you a little bit about his story, a little bit about his work, but you know what? He could probably do it much better, don't you think? So Muhammad, why don't you come on up?
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to be here with you this morning. It's always a privilege for me to come and fellowship and share with God's people wherever they are and be able to worship. I enjoyed worshiping this morning with you, though my voice is not that good. Yesterday I was at a football game rooting for Colorado and I lost my voice. It was a good game. So today my voice is not doing well, but I enjoyed listening to the songs as you were worshiping the Lord. My heart was rejoicing. There's nothing like being in God's house. Amen. Let me tell you this. I am sad when people relinquish being in God's house for a football game or a baseball game or a hike or a bike ride, or going to the beach. This is sad, because they're missing on being in the presence of God. Amen. That's what you're missing on. And there is nothing like being in God's presence. Amen?
Amen.
As your pastor shared, my name is Muhammad. I come from a Muslim background. The Lord saved me through Sunday school ministry at the age of 14. And since that time, I felt God's calling on my life to reach my people. But because I come from a poor family, I wanted to climb up the ladder. I wanted to achieve the American dream. And so I disobeyed God and went my way. And for 20 years, I ran away from God. I did not want to serve Him. Because the Lord loves me much, He got out the 2x4 and whacked me. And I still did not listen. I was hard-headed, like an ox. And it was not until years after the beating that I understood that the way I was leading was not a good way. It was not pleasing unto the Lord. I was not being obedient to what God wants me to do. And so in 2008, I completely surrendered to the Lord and entered full-time ministry. And I started doing street evangelism. And through street evangelism, God led us to the city of Tyre, same city that Paul, the apostle, and Jesus visited. And when I went there, it was totally dark, and I felt that's where God wants me. He said to me, go reclaim the land. And so I went back home to Beirut, which is the capital, and I told my wife, we're going down to Tyre. And she said, you need to go see a shrink. You're losing your mind. I'm not going to take my five kids down to Tyre, war zone between Hezbollah and Israel. No job, no food, no house. What's the story with you? Do you lose your mind? And I said, the Lord will provide. We just need to obey. She struggled a little bit, but then she's a godly woman. She came along. She said, I'm not going to fight with you. If you are wrong, God is going to give you another beating. And so she was capitalizing on this, but the Lord was good. This morning, I want to share something with you that really has done a great work in me. And that is the heart issue. The Bible says that out of the heart are the issues of life. We cannot live as Christians in this world and as believers without aligning our hearts with God's heart. There is no way we can make it or be successful or have victory if our hearts are not aligned with God's heart. And I don't want anybody to think wrongly that your heart being aligned with God's heart is that you are being self-righteous. It's not about attending church. It's not about giving. It's not about reading your Bible. It's not about having good morals. It's much more than that. Much, much more than that. And I want to take you to the book of Jonah. Book of Jonah is known as the book where the big fish swallowed a man. That's how we think of Jonah, right? Every time this book is mentioned, we think of the fish swallowing a man. Well, the book of Jonah is much more than that. The book of Jonah displays the heart of God towards man. And if I want my heart to be aligned with God's heart, then the book of Jonah is a good book to read and study. It was said of David, he was a man after God's own heart. If the Bible didn't say it, I wouldn't believe it. That man was a murderer, killer, adulterer, every bad thing he did. But he was a man after God's own heart. And we will see that. And this morning, my desire for you is that you do not leave this place without aligning your heart with God's heart. If you're struggling in life, if you have issues, if you're not doing well, it's time to check your heart. Where is your heart today? In Proverbs it says, my son, give me thine heart. That's what God demands. He doesn't want anything else. He doesn't want your riches. He doesn't want your degrees. He doesn't want what you own. What he wants is your heart. Where is your heart this morning? That is the big question. God's heart is crucial for any calling. We are created unwillingly in the image of God, but we have to give our heart to him willingly so we can be after his own heart. It's something that you do willingly. God cannot force his heart on you. You have to change. You have to align your heart with God's heart. What is God's heart for man? For the nations. What does he desire? If we read in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 2, God says to Jonah, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come before me. But Jonah rose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. God's heart is to proclaim the gospel to all of humanity. That's God's heart. That's what he wants. If you're wondering what God wants, he wants the good news to get to every creature that is living on this earth. Amen. That's his design. Amen. That's what he likes. What is your heart? When you wake up in the morning, what do you think of? What's your desire? Do you think of reaching a lost soul for Jesus Christ. You say, Lord, this morning I'm going to leave my house. I beg you, let me meet a person that I can tell him the good news. Why? Because this is your heart, oh God. This is what you want. And that's what God said to Jonah. He says, Jonah, arise and go. I want you to go. You see, we have a problem in our churches today. We don't know why we're here. We think we're here to be doctors. We think we're here to be professors. We think we're here to build houses, to own lands, to be successful businessmen, to be successful lawyers. Wrong. These are the means to an end. The end of a believer in this world is to be the light of the world. That's why you're here. Let me tell you something. I want to go and be with Jesus. I don't want to live here. You have to be insane to desire to live on this earth. You have to be insane. When God saves you, your desire is to go and be with Him. Sit at His feet. Hear His voice. Enjoy His beauty. That's what you desire. And if you don't have that desire, there is something wrong with you. You were singing, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. The city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. Amen. That's where he wanted to be. He did not want to be on this earth. That's why he lived in a tent. Abraham was a pilgrim on this earth. He did not build the city. Who built the city? Lot. What happened to the city? It was burnt. God burnt it. And we forget sometimes why we're here. We forget that we are pilgrims on this earth. And we should live in the simplicity of life. We should not attach our lives to it. And many times we strangle ourselves with the affairs of this world. That's why Paul says to Timothy, be careful. Be not entangled with the affairs of this world. This world can kill you, can kill your testimony, can kill who you are if you're not careful. And that's why you have to be intentional about living for Jesus Christ, about aligning your heart with the heart of God. God's heart was to reach the nation. How did he do that? He called the person. So proclaiming the gospel demands that there be a person. You need to be in person to proclaim the gospel. How can they hear unless there's a messenger, right? Somebody needs to go. And Isaiah says, blessed are the feet who carry the good news. So we need a person. That's what God wants. That's why he says, Jonah, arise and go. He could have sent an angel to Nineveh, couldn't he? Right? He could have made a big declaration in heaven for the Ninevites to repent and come to him. He did not do that. What did he do? He says, Jonah, get up and go. He wants a person. The people here in Frisco, if you don't go in person to them and tell them about Jesus, they're not going to know about Jesus. And it's not only through words, but through works. We need to be a living gospel more than we are a speaking gospel. People are tired of us saying Jesus loves you. They want to know how Jesus loves us. They want to experience that. And they want to experience it in person. God's heart is to proclaim the gospel in person. And then God's heart is to proclaim the gospel in public. He says, go and call out. Tell everybody. Be loud. Be bold. Don't hide. Many of us today, because we want to be politically correct, we are ashamed of Jesus. Our young people, when they go to college, They are afraid to say they're Christians. Why? Be proud that you are a Christian. Be proud that you believe in the living God. What do you want to believe? In monkey business? Or Big Bang theories? I tell them in Syria there are a lot of Big Bangs. Nobody's getting born. They're all dying. Be proud. Don't be ashamed that you worship the living God. That your Lord and Master is Jesus Christ. God wanted Jonah to go and cry out. Declare the good news. Yes, offend people. The gospel offends people. You know why? Because it deals with their sins. That's why. Nobody wants to talk about his sin. We want to talk about somebody else. We forget that we are sinners. Right? And God wants you to proclaim the gospel in person and in public. And we see that with Jonah. Also, God wants you to proclaim the gospel in his presence. So Jonah did not proclaim the gospel. Why? Because he ran away from the presence of the Lord. When you are not in God's presence, you have no desire to share the gospel. What makes you have a desire to share the gospel is being in the presence of God. That's what gives you the desire. Because you experience a great relationship that forces you to declare it and to share it with people. The Samaritan woman, when Jesus preached the gospel to her and she got saved, she ran back to the city. She wanted to tell everybody about what Jesus did in her life. If you're not proclaiming the gospel, maybe you are not being present in God's house, in God's presence. Maybe you're lacking there. People think that Sunday morning God is present. No, God is present every single day in your life. Every single hour, every single minute, you need to be present in his presence. And if you're not in his presence, you have no desire to proclaim the gospel. In fact, Jesus, in Matthew 28, he tells his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And he ends the verse with, I will be with you. So you cannot proclaim the gospel without the presence of Jesus Christ. And sometimes I wonder about people. They say, can we go to Lebanon and share the gospel? Can we go to Jordan? Can we go to Egypt? And they are afraid. Why are you afraid? If you are going to proclaim the gospel, do not forget that Jesus is with you. And if God is with you, who can be against you? That's God's heart. That's what God wants. Where are you from this morning? Are you involved in proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether locally or nationally or internationally, or you're living for yourself? Life rotates around you. That's not God's heart. God's heart is that you be involved in proclaiming the gospel. God's heart not only to proclaim the gospel, but God's heart is to pursue man. God loves man. He desires to have a relationship with him. That's why he made him. Yes, he knew that man will sin. He knew that, but he made a way. And why? Because he gave him freedom. That's why. How much you value freedom in this country? God gave freedom to man. He did not create a robot or a dummy or a puppet. He made a man and a woman who are free. Yes, you are free to say no to God. And God will accept that. And you will reap what you sow. That's the principle in life. But God is always pursuing man. Since the Garden of Eden, when man fell, God was pursuing him. He came to the garden and says, Adam, Adam, where are you? As if he did not know where Adam is. He did. But he wanted to express that. Why? Because he pursues man. He didn't leave him. He didn't say, let's pack it. If I was in the place of God and Adam did what he did, I would pack it. Put it in the garbage. We're done. Let's make something new. Thankfully, I'm not God. God is love. God pursues man. He doesn't leave him. And you, as believers, need to pursue people. One of the main mistakes done by mission organizations and missionaries over the years in reaching the Muslim world for Christ is they stopped pursuing them because it was hard. They did not have the heart of God. Because the heart of God is to pursue man. To pursue man patiently. God was after Jonah. See? Jonah went down to the bottom of the ship. God was there. He made the wind come up. Jonah went into the bottom of the sea. God was there. He sent a fish. He was at the shore, upset and depressed. God was there. He says, go a second time to Nineveh. God pursues man patiently. Do you give up on your loved ones, on your friends, on your neighbors when they do not respond to you? Or you keep pursuing them with the love of Jesus Christ? That's what God does. He does it patiently. He does it persistently. He's at it. The second time, he says, go to the people of Nineveh the second time. Jonah was not happy. He was in a bad mood. He went down to sit under the tree. God did not leave him alone. He was after him because he wanted him to realize his heart. He wanted Jonah's heart to be like his heart. He did not want Jonah to be sectarian and prejudiced and hateful. He wanted him to be loving and caring and involved in taking the good news to every creature, regardless of their background, of their race, of their color. That's God's heart. God's heart is to pursue man patiently, persistently, and with power. I love the book of Jonah. He says, God made a wind. You see, when God pursues you, he doesn't do it in a weak way. He does it with power. He does it with strength. He's not weak. Many times we are weak. We want to change so we will be more appealing. Instead of praying and declaring the truth with power, we want to do different stuff, come up with means and methods that are humanistic in their ways because we don't have power. But God pursued man with power. He prepared a fish to come and swallow Jonah. He prepared a tree to grow up and give shade to Jonah. He prepared a worm to come and destroy the tree. God pursues man with power. So, to the extent that man becomes unable to resist. Unable to resist. That's how God does it. That's his heart. What's your heart today? Are you pursuing man with patience, with persistence, with power? Or you give up on people? If you're giving up on people, that's not God's heart. Because God's heart is to pursue man. And finally, God's heart is to pity man, to love man. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, "And should not I pity Nineveh, that great city in which there are more than 120,000 persons who do not know their right from their left, and also much cattle?" God's heart is love. That's God's heart. God is love. And oh, how selfish we are in our day and age. We don't know how to love. We're so busy with ourselves. And love is not natural. Make no mistake. Naturally, we're selfish brats. That's what we are. Love is intentional. You intend to love people. You make it a point. You take a decision. Sometimes young people come to me and they say, "Pastor Muhammad, we're in love." And I say, "You're stupid. You don't know what love is all about." You see, love, when you are in a room between four walls and you have to pick the dirty underwears and the dirty socks, and you have to sleep next to somebody who stinks and who's at night, and say, "What did I get myself into?" And then you are faced with a decision, either to leave or love. That's why we have high rate of divorce. Because we don't know how to love. It's not working. Make it work. Love. Love. We don't know how to love. That's why we divorce. We need to learn how to love. Why? Because this is God's heart. And love is expensive. Love is not cheap. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he told them so." Is that what it says? "For God so loved the world that he gave." He gave. That's how he loves. And we don't want to give. We don't want to give anymore. And I'm not speaking materially. I'm speaking of your time, of your energy, of everything you are. God's heart is to love. And that's what Jonah said. That's the testimony of Jonah to his shame. He says, "God, I knew you are gracious and merciful and loving. That's why I didn't tell them." Jonah, you knew that I love people and you don't want to tell them? Aren't we like Jonah? We know that God can make a difference in our neighbor's life. We live next to our neighbor for 10, 15, 20 years. We never bother to share the gospel with them. We're like Jonah. We live in this world, and there's a lost world outside without Jesus Christ. We never put an effort to contribute to God's work. Instead, we love to go buy a new car. Why? Because we don't love, that's why. When you look at refugees in war-torn countries, whether in the Middle East or in East Asia or in the Stan countries or in Africa, what happens to you? Do you have pity on people? The Bible says that when Jesus walked on this earth and he looked at the multitude, he had compassion on them. He loved them. They were like sheep without a shepherd. How do you look at people? When you see the homeless in Frisco, when you see the orphans and the needy, what do you do? Does something move in you? This is God's heart. You see, God's heart is never indifferent. God's heart always makes a difference. When man sinned, God did not stand idle and watch the ruin of humanity. No, he came up with a plan of redemption that took over 3,000 years to be implemented. He pursued man for thousands of years to have a relationship with him. This is love. That's God's heart. Where is your heart today? Is your heart aligned with God's heart? Do you desire to proclaim the gospel? Whether through your mouth or through your pocket. Do you desire to pursue people? Do you love people? Are they of interest to you? Or you want to live in your own comfort zone? No, we don't want anybody to disturb us. We always create a comfort zone for ourselves and we try to protect it and live in it. We don't want anybody to come and disturb us. When the immigrants and refugee issue was going on, some churches, I was amazed by their position. You know, let the government do what it needs to do. Give unto Caesar what is Caesar. They want to screen people. They want to build a wall. Bless their heart. That's their problem. But we as a church, we need to love every refugee and every immigrant that comes to this country.
Amen.
Finish. Amen. What the government wants to do, that's its business. God has appointed it. They know what to do. But when that immigrant enters the United States of America and that refugee comes in, he's our responsibility. Because God brought them here not to be American citizens, but to be heavenly citizens. That's why. And we are missing on the opportunity. Why? Because we don't have God's heart. That's why. If we had God's heart, our desire will be to take the gospel to them. Our desire will be to pursue them wherever they go. Our desire will be to love on them. Because that's God's heart. May God help us this morning to have his heart. If you're not doing well, maybe you need heart check. Let's check our hearts. Do I have God's heart this morning? It's not about coming to church and reading your Bible and praying. I told you David was a man after God's own heart. You know why? Because David loved to proclaim the good news, to lift his God on high. That's his desire all the time. He wanted to build a temple for him. He says, God, I want to build a temple. I want every creature to know that you are the living God. That's why he was after God's own heart. David was pursuing man for good. 20 years he ran away from Saul. Many times he had the opportunity to kill him. He did not kill him. He was pursuing him. So one day Saul will repent and come back to his senses. He took care of Mephibosheth. He cried over the mighty men of Israel. That's David. That's why his heart was after God's own heart. He was loving that strong man, that fighter. As you read his life, you will see the moments when his heart was full of love to people. That's why he was after God's own heart. Not because he was praying all the time. Not because he was reading his Bible all the time. Not because he was coming to church all the time. No. Because he had something that we all need to have today. So we can be called men and women after God's own heart. And God's heart is in Jonah. Proclaiming the gospel. Pursuing man. Having pity on man. That's his heart. Believe me, if you have his heart, you will change Frisco. Amen. You'll bring change to this town by having God's heart. Amen. Just like Jonah changed Nineveh by having God's heart. Let's pray. All right, Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning for your goodness, for how great you are. We thank you because you desire that we have your heart, O God. Help us to have your heart, O God. May not one soul leave this place without examining its heart, Lord, and align it with your heart. We honor you. We glorify you. Bless this church. Bless the leaders. Bless the people, Lord. May they be used by you for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. That was a word of God for us. Do we believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like that. Pursuing man, loving man. God loved man so much that he gave his only son. He gave everything. And that's what God's calling us to do. Well, in just a couple minutes, we're letting Muhammad have a 3 or 4 minute break here. Then he's going to come back and he's going to share a little bit about how the church entire is trying to reach out and love the people around them. And by the way, Tyre is, have you ever heard of the Hezbollah? I know a lot of times people, when they think of the Hezbollah, they think of terrorism, you know, evil, and there's a lot of that. But Tyre is right in the middle of the Hezbollah country. And this is where they are trying to touch people and love people. Just real quick, just a reminder about our upcoming retreat. It's coming up in, 5 weeks? 5 weeks from Friday. We have some brochures. A lot of people have